Welcome to CBR, episode 520, June 14th, 2024. I'm Shannon.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Greg.
Little D-Light playing this room.
Hi, everybody.
It's been a minute. So we were traveling, working, and you know, it's like Friday night, and like, well, let's see if Greg's available. Yeah. So, all right. So, being CBR, I guess we are cocktails, beer, and other revelry. Is that what you came up with? Okay. Yes. So, tell us about our first cocktail this evening.
All right. Actually, put for the recipe. This is Corpse Reviver number 2. The particular recipe I'm using for this one is I did a double version and then split into three.
Okay.
So that we have a good amount, but we're not each having a single one.
Did you say corpse?
Corpse Reviver number 2. Yes. This was a pre-prohibition drink they used to, this was their version of Hair of the Dog, right?
Okay.
You know, you're super drunk in the morning, you know, then you need something to wake you back up. This is the Corpse Reviver.
Okay.
So it is, in this recipe that I'm using, 3/4 of an ounce of London Dry Gin, which is probably closest to what you use, which was,
Jaggerbush.
Jaggerbush.
From Pittsburgh Distilling.
3/4 of an ounce of orange liqueur. We went with Contrao, which I think is pretty much awesome in every place you get when you use it. 3/4 of an ounce Lillet or Cucky Americano, and that's what we use, Cucky Americano, because I don't know where you can get Lillet anymore.
Okay.
Cucky Americano is a fortified wine, so keep it in the fridge.
All right.
And 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, so it's a equal parts cocktail. And then there was a dash of absinthe that was used to sort of coat the glass beforehand. Garnished with a lemon peel. Corpse Reviver number 2.
Now, is there a number 1 also?
So I think that the weird thing is it's a lot of these things with the number 2s and number 1s, they were just sort of different formulations, and this is the one that won out, I guess. Maybe it was a different base spirit.
Right.
Probably not bourbon at the time, probably brandy, pre-prohibition.
Right. Yeah, so this is weird, reviewing a cocktail, but... It's a lemony cocktail, so it's a hazy yellow cloudy thing. There's a lemon peel sitting in the glass, no ice, because it's double strained.
I definitely smell the absinthe,
which is good. I think that's what you want. You want to smell it, and you want to like, because that's pretty much all you want of it. You don't want it to really overwhelm the flavors here.
Yep. I want to get a little spritzer for the absinthe, and that's a good drink.
Hmm.
That's a drink. That drink's going to find its way out of the glass really quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I think you taste the absinthe in there. I think we might have pulled out the Cocky Americano, just have a little sip of that to see what that is like, just to, you know, get the idea of what that's doing here.
Yeah.
But it's adding that little, a little bit of, I think, kind of funkiness, a little herbaceousness to it too. I mean, it's the primary, you know, it's the thing that's adding everything that's not gin and lemon juice and orange liqueur. So it's the thing that's providing most of the flavor besides that absinthe. But
right,
I do think it's a really good drinker, really easy one to, it goes down really easy. This is not like a Negroni where you're going to sit with it a while. You can probably down this pretty quick.
Yeah,
definitely. I think this would be really good over ice too.
Yeah, this would work well over ice.
Mm-hmm.
This was cool to shaken and strained.
I guess it's probably normally served in a coupe or something like that.
Yes, yeah. This would be a coupe or maybe a Nick and Nora or something like that. Martini glass would work fine for it. But yeah, we're using these Spiegelau glasses instead of
Spiegelau beer tulips.
Mm-hmm.
And it still tastes fine. Tart. There's a surprisingly sweet for not having any simple or anything added to it. You know, it has a nice balance to it.
Yeah, I think that might be the Americano.
Okay.
Again, we haven't tried that. I haven't even like really tried that alone. So I'm curious. I know it's like one description I heard was it's gross in the best way. So
I like gross in good ways. Mm-hmm. That's up my alley for sure.
That's really good.
I was driving on the way here and a car passed me and had took a picture to make sure I could remember it.
Hmm.
And none of them got the actual bumper sticker. I was never able to get it, but I do remember what it was.
Okay.
Because I thought it said, it's a green bumper sticker, and I thought it said, tacos are the answer.
That's a good bumper sticker.
And I said, that's a great bumper sticker. And I looked closer and it said, trees are the answer.
Oh.
And that, like, now I understand more of what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I agree with you less.
So, all right. We'll have to have some CBR tacos are the answer bumper stickers.
We need to make shirts. Tacos are the answer. Yeah.
I mean, the question doesn't really have to matter. It certainly tacos. Yeah.
They answer many things.
Yeah. I mean, like,
they just make things better.
Academically, it's not going to work very well for you. Like, if you answer that on a test, but in a lot of situations, tacos is
a train leaves New York at 7 a.m. at 60 miles per hour. Greg gets on in Cincinnati with a bag full of tacos.
Mm-hmm. Well, now this is more a philosophy question, it sounds like, because there is no there's no calculation needed there. Mm. So,
yes.
You were in Seattle. Did you bring back any fun and beers?
We didn't bring back any beer. I don't think. Oh, no, we did. We did.
I was going to say.
We brought back, I got one from Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
I think we have a couple others. I didn't grab any for tonight, but I could go switch one
up. You don't have to. We mentioned it on our post show, but for those of you who may not listen to the post show, we did it. Last show we did from Milwaukee, Spotted Cow. And I wanted to test, we didn't do it on the main show, but we did a sort of experiment on the post show that I think was very telling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was something that I experienced when I was in Milwaukee, which was, I got three versions of a Spotted Cow, one in the bottle, directly from the bottle, one in the can, or again, one, you know, poured out, or I think I may have gotten a draft at one point too.
Right.
But while they were all good, out of the bottle, directly out of the bottle seemed to me to be the better experience, which is weird.
And right. We've been telling people for almost 20 years not to drink your beer from a bottle.
Right. Right. And yet we tested this and I think we all came to the same agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It was best out of the bottle.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Why? We don't know. It was a glitch in the matrix, it was best.
Yeah. It obviously you're not getting, you know, as nearly as many volatiles like around your nose. It was maltier.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It felt more substantial, I guess. You didn't get a chance to try it as a can, but the can just kind of ruined everything in a way that I can't really describe because I don't have it in front of me. So it's hard for me to remember. But yeah, okay. So that something to add to the mysteries of the universe and perhaps something to think about in future experiments. There are certain cases where out of the bottle actually works.
Yeah. I mean, so Spotted Cow, if you are far enough away, is a light lager
mm-hmm.
beer, right? And I could imagine that family of cream ales and American adjunct lagers and things like that. You know,
they call it a farmhouse, but you know, yeah.
Well, but yeah, a farmhouse, but it's still, I don't know, drinking it blind, it's not saison-y, it's more cream ale-y, you know, it's, you know, on that side of a fence, if there's a fence. Mm-hmm. And I could see that whole class of beers where if you can isolate the maltiness, you know, make that crisp, you know, maltiness kind of come through, I think it could help. So maybe that's why, you know, I guess. I mean, you mentioned how the malt was kind of brighter.
Yeah, it was just a weird, yeah, not something that was at all what I expected going in. But hey, you learned something new. So what do we got on tap for the net for the beer we're going to have now?
All right, let's go to...
Hold on, I've got to get over there so I can write down.
All right, grab a bottle opener while you're there. Or grab the one that's back here that I can't see. Or the one or off the...
Open the bottle with your mind.
Hmm. I've been working on that. Still not there. Still not there.
You need to do more meth.
Is that the key?
Apparently, like, if you did all the meth, then, like, you'd get, like, really strong superpowers. I don't know how long you'd live, but you'd get strong superpowers.
Everything, it's all in your mind, they say, so that would definitely prove that's true. All right, the first beer we're going to do is a beer from Hill Farmstead, which we brought back from our trip last summer. This is the Sankt, S-A-N-K-T, 2019.
Sankt. So the first thing that comes to mind when I hear of Sankt, to hear the word Sankt is, what was it, Sanko Coffee, which was the 80s?
Sanka.
Sanka. The 80s instant coffee.
Yeah. Sanka.
Yeah. That those wonderful.
You can still find it, apparently.
I mean, yeah. It's sad that instant coffee still exists. Mm-hmm. Although I bet there are some uses for it you can find. Like, for example, in culinary applications. Yeah. Let's say you wanted to use it for like a mix it with the, you know, the potato stuff in a box for kind of a breading.
Yeah.
On fish or something like that might work.
Yeah.
But let's see, Sankt.
The 2019. Now, are we rating the cocktails too?
Yeah.
We are. We're gonna rank.
We are. See, here's the thing, here's what I think. You know, when we started this show, part of the whole idea was to support the beer industry, support the craft beer industry, and make it so that everywhere you go, like our goal was that everywhere you go, you'd find craft beer.
Mission accomplished. Done, baby. Mission accomplished.
I mean, that, yeah, like that. So what's left? What's left for us to say now that everywhere I go, I'm overwhelmed by the amount of craft beers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could react and be like, you know, lager beer radio and just only do lagers. But
so I feel like let's revel in our success, such as it is. I mean, I can't call it our success, but our dream's success, right? Mm-hmm. Our goal was fulfilled. How much we had to do with it. I will say this much. The amount we had to do with it would have been replaced by somebody else had we not done it. So it's not.
It was replaced and done better by lots of people. So,
but you know, we can revel in the fact that that happened, which is great. And also still do something about beer, but not have to be like as, I don't know, just as tied to the industry and as tied to beer itself.
Yeah. I mean, I know that like I have a habit of wanting to keep the show fairly straight. But when you say like being tied to the industry, like I don't pay attention to anything like we used to, like, you know, beer news and all that other crap. So,
and you're the one who suggested going to CBR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of just craft beer radio. And I think it's a fine
chronic
fine establishment.
Blunts and reefer.
So the one I see.
We're rebranding. Next week we'll be back as Chronic Blunts and Reefer.
Well, I guess that fits in other revelries, right? The one I see on their website is 2021. So I don't see the 2019 version, but they talk about wine barrel aged amber ale, 6%. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Placed in barrels autumn of 2019, chose the condition in wine barrels, previously had been home to Flora, Dorothy, and Art, amongst others. After 15 months in the wood, uniquely expressive version of Sankt Hans emerged.
Hans, Sankt Hans? Is that what this is? Okay, then I have Sankt Hans.
I mean, this just says Sankt on the front, though.
Oh.
But on the back, it says Sankt Hans. And then maybe that's a blend? I don't know. Yes. 2 years in the bottle.
Yes, Sankt Hans is the blend. Maybe.
Share, consider, and enjoy. So let's get on to the... We already shared it. Let's consider it.
All right.
So weirdly smells more alcohol-y to me than the cocktail did.
It's an amber color. It's fairly clear. Like a light orangey tea kind of color.
Yeah. Woody.
Yeah, there's a little bit of like funk to it.
Tannins.
Yeah, like a wine oakiness is in there as well.
There's most of what I'm getting. I expect it to be sour based on how it smells.
There's a rustic, almost like a buckwheat aroma on it, but I'm not saying buckwheat's an ingredient.
Not as sour as I expected it to be.
It has a mouthfeel like lemonade, where it's kind of tangy. It's almost like a Arnold Palmer, where it's lemonade and tea, isn't it?
Yes.
That's interesting call. The closest style-wise that immediately comes to mind is Albrun. Mm-hmm. But it's not. An Albrun doesn't have the deepness to it. It does have that kind of lemonade-y thing.
Yeah, there's not so much lemonade. For me, lemonade's not like the straight-up flavor, but it's like the feel of
effervescence.
It. And then there is kind of a tea flavor. Mm-hmm. And there the tartness from the lemon.
Yeah, I think that in Albrun there's more of a earthy, mushroomy kind of thing going on. If not just pure woodiness,
the culture plays a bigger part in an Albrun, right? We get a little more of that acetobacter and more funk. This one has a light amount of funk to it, but it's pretty restrained.
Yeah, you can tell the sour is not like a pure lactic sour, like an easy sour, but it's also not a particularly complex one either.
No, the barrels have had like 20 things in it. So I'm sure there's a culture in the barrels that are contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is really nice. I like this a lot.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
I think I don't think it's bad. I do think it's a nice drinker, but I also think I was expecting a little bit more, I guess. I was looking for a little bit more complexity.
That's the first thing I wrote down in my notes. It's not very complex.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, but it's not one that jumps out and says, most of the Hill Farmstead ones, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. This one's not one we're going to wrap our hands around the glass and revel for 20 minutes, but... I do enjoy it. I think this would go great with a meal.
With the mention of tea, I'm almost thinking kombucha. It kind of has a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, my homemade kombucha is way more tangy than the store-bought stuff. So I'm trying to think of, like, what store-bought stuff tastes like. But I think you're onto something there.
See, I just taste too much like tea. Sweet tea to me.
Keep in mind, we're in 2024. This is 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it went into the barrels in 2019, spent 18 months in a barrel, and then it spent 2 years in the bottle. Yeah, 2 years in the bottle.
Okay.
So it was probably just available for sale last summer. So it's only a year.
So then this might very well be what they had here on their Sanct page, because it was only released once, but the blend does look like 2019, right? Singular blend was 2019. So yeah. So this is Sanct. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Phil Farmstead and look for Sanct right now, as of June 14th, this is what you'll see. And this was, but this was the release on the 21st, or I'm sorry, the 2021.
Oh, well,
I don't know.
So this had 3 years to become more complex in the bottle. And really, if it did, then what was it in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
I just save your money. Like, there are other Hill Farmsteads that are better. And I can't imagine this was like a $4 bottle.
No, probably not. I don't think anything there was
affordable. No.
I enjoy it. It is a light one. If I remembered how much I paid for it, I might have an opinion of, well, your money might be better spent in something more interesting, but that ship has sailed and it's just a beer in the fridge. And I opened it and it's really enjoying it. So
yeah, you definitely are enjoying it way more than Shandon and I, because
yeah, I'm actually giving them the rest of mine.
I should say Shandon and me, although I shouldn't even say that, because I watched a good video about how all this grammatical stuff that we go on is such, like, it's a very cultural thing, but linguists find it silly.
All right, let's go to this one.
The whole point of languages is that they change.
Do you want yours, Ernst?
Oh, it's a sour. Yeah, I guess we can do this. Your hop farm that you brought, the Save Room Grapefruit Brulee, will be the next beer.
These are two hop farms I bought today. I have not tried either of them. I think we're saving one for another show. So this one is...
I'm sorry, it's a hop farm.
Hop farm. It is Save Room Grapefruit Brulee.
So they have another Save Room called, that was a peach cobbler. So it looks like this is their dessert beer.
Yeah, I believe the label at the bottom says dessert sour series. Pours a hazy amber, same color as the last one. So it looks like an orange-ish tea kind of color. It's hazy.
So I will say the undisputed champions of the dessert beer in the Pittsburgh area have to be Hitchhiker. They are pretty much every one they make is pretty fantastic.
The jelly donut can be pretty good. Yeah,
yeah, it can.
We had some creamsicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, the orange creamsicle.
I mean, there's... So one of the ones that stand out is one of Shannon's like first craft beers, actually, was when Platform Beer Company is not even around anymore, but they were out in Cleveland. They paired up with Prantl's Bakery here in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm,
and did an almond tort beer.
Yeah.
And
which was, you know, so there was a big deal made because there was some website that called it the best cake in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some, yeah.
So you know, the Prantl's almond tort, yeah, was riding high. So they made a beer with it, and it was pretty good beer. But I don't know.
No, it was got me turned on to.
I figured you would chime in, and
that was definitely what got me turned on to craft beer, because.
Beer can be this.
Sort yeah, of, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was very much a wine drinker, and mm-hmm, you know, in my past life, I drank beer, but it was Michelob and you know, things like that. So
thanks to Blue Mountains on the label, you know.
Yeah,
the coldest beer there is. Now, when it comes to the beer-flavored beers, I prefer Hop Farm to Hitchhiker, and I think it's because I really prefer the yeast. But I'm not, I haven't been as convinced by the dessert series from Hop Farm, so let's see.
I'm curious what grapefruit brulee is, right? It sounds like it's going to be kind of a more bitter plus sweet tied together kind of thing.
Well, you think, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's playing off a creme brulee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but with grapefruit. Can I see the can?
Yeah, for sure.
It's, I'm not, on yeah, the nose, I'm not much. Getting grapefruit.
Yeah, I agree.
It's, I'm yeah, not getting
it's kind
a
of
lot.
Just an amber, kind of toasty malt aroma is the main aroma.
Yeah, toasty.
So this is 8%. They say conditioned on grapefruit along with caramel and Madagascar vanilla.
Oh, that's why.
All right, moving on to the flavor. Yeah, don't waste your time on the aroma. You're not going to find anything, but the flavor delivers something. You do get the grapefruit. Ooh. You do get kind of like a...
Oh, I'm tasting the caramel.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't really come across like brulee. It comes across more like a con leche cake or something like that. You know, like one of those Mexican cakes with the milk and, you know, it's kind of soggy.
I don't know that I've ever had one.
Oh, they're very good. But I'm getting a... This is weird for me. I feel like I need something to cleanse my palate. Because I'm getting the grapefruit. I feel that there's the vanilla and caramel at the edge, but I'm just not getting it at all. So I'm going to have a little of the cocky Americano, hoping that will
okay. I was going to run down to get you some saltines, but if you want to go with a liqueur instead, sounds like a great way to cleanse the palate.
I mean, I think that the sourness.
Mm-hmm.
That we're getting here is similar to what we had last time, and so it's confusing me a bit. Would anybody else like a sip of this?
I would, yes. My Glenclaren's right there behind the Applejack.
Actually, that one's mine, but it's okay. I don't know what yours is.
I think mine got used to poor lemon juice. I don't know. Yeah. It's holding lemon juice right now. It's all right. All right. Well, Greg is pouring us some of the fortified wine, Americano. I don't even know what it's called. Americano. What's going on in the world today? I saw the Supreme Court said that bump stocks are illegal, so that's fun. Yay.
Alex Jones. His bankruptcy.
Come back on mic.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to pick up what you're saying, Greg, till you get back here.
Yeah, what's Alex Jones up to? I saw his face was on the title screen for Last Week Tonight, but I didn't look into what.
Well, his bankruptcy went from, for his personal bankruptcy, he owes like $1 billion plus. His personal bankruptcy, which he went into to try to hold up on paying, has gone from chapter 11, which is restructuring, to chapter 7, which is liquidation. Mm-hmm. His chapter 11 for free speech systems, which is InfoWars, has today been dismissed, which means that they can't stop creditors from just trying to take it apart. So, but there's still a bunch of legal shenanigans to go. It's not like things have stopped. So cookie Americano.
Not funky or gross in a weird way or a good way or anything. It's just,
Oh, that's different.
It's like a little banana apple thing.
I'm getting some kind of like a, it's not an almond.
What's that thing that's like a tangerine, but like a knot starts with a C maybe?
Clementine?
No, I guess not.
I mean, I'm getting more of...
Some sort of a peanut, and I can't...
I'm getting something along the side, some herb that's along the lines of anise or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anise, I don't think. I think it's something different.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I do definitely don't think it's anise. Yeah, some rooty thing, right? Mm-hmm. Some like not sassafras, but maybe kind of related.
It's not too different. It's surprisingly similar to the flavors I was getting in the chartreuse when we tried that earlier.
Really? Because the chartreuse has like 200 ingredients.
That one's sweeter, but I was still getting kind of that root spice is kind of the distinctive thing.
Well, we'll try the chartreuse a little bit later. Hopefully this has given me some.
I like this.
Yeah, it's not, it's like the babiest of baby Fernet Broncos, you know, like where it has some herbal spicing, but it's like such a light touch compared to smashing you in the face.
It's not even like Aperol to Campari. It's even less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Okay, Back to the grapefruit brulee.
Mm-hmm.
Experiment failed.
Yeah, it kind of didn't make the beer taste better. Back to water for palate cleansing.
Hmm. I'm just not getting anything other than
grapefruit pale ale kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not really sour. They call it a dessert sour series.
No, there's nothing sour.
It doesn't really bring sour. Maybe a little bit, but
there's a little bit. There's just, but it's pure lactic, easy sour.
Is it me, or does it also taste like tea, like unsweet tea?
It's not just. Yeah, there's a bit of it there.
We're just doing it to you. We're getting all the beers that have essence of tea in it.
Unsweet. I like sweet tea. I'm from the South.
Well, yeah, you're from the South. And you like, so, you know, it's funny because sweet tea is basically sugar with a little bit of tea in it.
Yeah.
And
it's hummingbird water.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very Southern. And then when you realize how much sugar is in Coca-Cola, you say, now I see why it comes from Atlanta. Mm. It's like the last one, it's not bad, but it's not, there's nothing there.
Yeah, there's.
It's not something.
Having it on tap at Hop Farm, it's like next, you know, move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and at 8%, save your sobriety.
Yeah.
Is it 8%? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like the grapefruit flavor that's in it, but not all by its lonesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't seem worth it. So let's mix up the desserts and let's go with this bad boy. This is Everywhere and Nowhere from Angry Chair Brewing. On the back, it says Imperial Sweet Stout with coconut and those black and white cookies.
Okay.
And it's probably super big, so I'm just going to pour us light pours here. We can always come back to it.
Sorry, I should have grabbed that and handed it over.
Are we going to play this every time we get a beer from Angry Chair?
I don't know about every time, but it. You name your brewery Angry Chair.
What is the ABV of this?
Ooh, now there is a smell.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh my God.
Toasted mushroom. It's toasted marshmallows. Marshmallows.
And.
Chocolate s'mores.
The chocolate isn't. It's not a milk chocolate. It's not. What kind of chocolate is that? Because it's not milk and it's not a dark chocolate.
It's like a Belgian chocolate. Yeah.
Belgian.
Yeah, or chocolate. There's a little bit of chocolate syrup kind of smell.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chocolate syrup.
Chocolate
That's
syrup
what I'm...
and maybe a little bit of Baker's chocolate.
I'm getting the Oreos. I'm getting the Oreo cracker smell.
Oreo.
Well, that's because I don't know if you might have been reading, but it says with coconut in those black and white cookies.
Mm.
And if you look at
if
you look at the label, there's Oreos and the Oreo Monster.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, once it's pointed out, it's kind of obvious. It's right there. There it is. It's an Oreo.
Smells so good.
Wow. It does smell good.
It smells like an Oreo Blizzard in the best way, right?
Yeah.
On steroids. Yeah.
Now, how do I twist this open to get the cream?
It's already in there. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I already tasted it.
You took a sip already?
I haven't taken a sip yet. See my mind?
Through the roof. This is dark with... No, I mean, maybe the tight tan highlights. There's really no head on it. You can barely see any carbonation.
Sip it.
Well, now you're making me like that just makes me want to draw it out.
You do you. He just gave a reluctant but approving nod, and
that expression just now, that said it all.
It needed for me to breathe in some air to get the final bit of that cream, which stopped the bitterness.
Right, so
I was, you know, taking it slowly and analyzing it bit by bit. And yeah, if you just took the black cookie from the Oreo and just ate it, it's a bitter chocolate cookie.
Yeah, it's like known to be not a very good cookie. They're not popular outside the United States, apparently, because the crackers are too bitter and the cream is too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And actually Hydrox are like a better sandwich cookie. People say, I don't, haven't done the research to draw my own conclusion.
Dear God, this is delicious.
But when you then breathe in and it just sort of, it opens up the sweetness and you get a liquid Oreo.
Yeah.
And I have no complaints.
Yeah. It's the mouthfeel is smooth and silky and thick.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't quite melted milkshake thick.
No.
But it has that like density of flavor you think of when like you're getting the best of like a melted milkshake.
Yeah.
I think it's tastes like double stuffed Oreo cookies that you would put in a blender. So it's got a lot more of the cream.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's coconut added to this too, which I'm not. Well, necessarily picking out specifically coconut.
I'm getting a little bit of the coconut, but
I think it's there to add a little toastiness to it. And this is just my, you know, off the wall kind of like, I think I taste it sort of at the end of the bitterness of the chocolate as like the way to round that out and move it into sweetness. I assume comes from milk sugar.
This is so fucking good.
I caught the gnat.
Spit it out.
It's just protein. It's fine.
Make him spit the beer out.
I did.
Into my mouth.
You know the joke, right? An English man, an Irish man, and a Scottish man are at the bar, and flies fall into all three of their beers. And they're drinking Guinness, I guess. And the Englishman pushes the beer away and asks the barkeep to give him a new one. The Irishman begrudgingly fishes the fly out and drinks the rest of the beer. The Scot reaches in there, grabs the fly, holds it over the glass and yells at it, spit it out, spit it out.
So what's interesting about this one is how much of this could you drink?
What's the ABV?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
It's probably around 10 or 12.
Probably.
How much? I mean,
it depends on how high I was.
Well, so some people say like, oh, that cake's too chocolatey. I can't eat too much of that cake. I've never been that person. So never being that person, I could probably drink a lot of this. I'm not to the point where this is like, oh, well, this beer is great, but I can only drink a third of a can.
No.
I think I could drink the whole can. I would be blitzed at the end of it.
Yeah, this is 10.5, according to Untappd. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
This is one of those beers where it's like, you're going to have one and love it, or you're going to buy a 12-pack and like... you're just gonna be downing it and you're gonna get diabetes real quick because
it's one of those lonely nights where you're sitting at home and instead of eating ice cream all night you're just gonna drink these,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because you're just gonna be watching something uh-huh. and smoking a doob and being like, I'm pouring this back.
I think like half the can is for the right serving size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
half the can,
it's very sweet.
An 8-ounce serving.
Woof, man, is it good.
You guys want topped off or do you want to save this
Let's save it for the after show.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
I mean, either or.
I would save it for the after show, but only if you put it in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put it in the fridge.
I feel like if this were warm...
No, you're right.
All right, our next beer.
Our next beer.
It's going to be an interesting one because got a quick sour. It's Aragosa from Dancing Gnome. So I got this one kind of like, I'm so sick of kettle sours, but you know, this one's not foo-foo kettle sour something dessert beer. This is called Aragosa. So hopefully it's a good goza.
It is from Dancing Gnome.
Yep. I mean, it comes from a good brewery. So,
Air Goza. Is that like Air Bud? Like,
I guess.
There's nothing in the rule book that says gozas can't play basketball.
Oh, it's aged in tequila barrels and conditioned on lime zest, orange peel for delightful notes of tart, citrus, blah, 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 blah.
So I have a tequila thing where, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I drank too much tequila and so tequila has become the thing that unfortunately
you eat the worm.
I, you know, my body tries to reject.
I'll give you a light pour until you like it. How about that?
Yeah, that's probably useful. I'm nearly 50. It's been a while. My body has come around a little bit, but still not enough to enjoy tequila, unfortunately. Really?
Time to get over the trauma. That happened to me when I was 20.
Oh, look, no, like I said, I tried a lot because I want to.
Right. Yeah. And Greg is more mind over, you know, like feel it, like, you know, like if he puts his mind to it, he does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he learns quantum mechanics and all the other things, but he can't convince his body to drink tequila.
Yes. So. It's a sore subject because I want to drink some. I've had people give me like amazing shots of like, you know, the aged Patron, uh-huh. and it's like, yeah. I see why that's good.
I have had good tequilas and I've loved them all the time. I don't know why I don't have like a small tequila selection. Like I have a big bourbon selection because tequila is yummy. I just haven't. I'll have to go to Mexico. We'll have to do a tequila tour, I guess.
Sure.
I think I was telling you, you know, I'm kind of getting into brandy and I may start doing that with brandy because it's pretty good. And I think it's like bourbon to me is often too harsh, whereas brandy I feel like is more on my level.
Okay,
so this is almost champagne colored.
Yeah, look how clear. You don't see that every day.
And I'm getting a lot of vanilla. Is it a vanilla or is it almost like a creams?
So it might be the oakiness from the barrels, or it might be from the previous beer.
Probably from the previous beer.
I rinsed my glass, though.
I know. I'm just saying. It was a very sticky beer.
Yeah, it was.
So if it's not oak tannins, an oak character,
ooh.
This just has lime zest and orange peel added to it, other than the barrel aging.
That's tart.
It's tart. It's... I'll give it this for them. It's not a like urine goza, right? The gozas that are just like cheap and easy, and they just end up.
No, this. I mean, this one. If you're looking for it, you can taste. You can tell that it's salted. It helps like dissipate the sourness. So it kind of is tart up front, but it levels out really quickly. I think the goza part of this is well done. It's not too tart. It's not too salty. The lime zest in there plays in really well.
I can taste the tequila in here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming through. And I think that if you like that, then you're going to at least enjoy that a little bit. It's not a lot, which is good for me because it means I'm not rejecting it.
It's very, everything is very subtle.
Yeah.
But it's,
not
very
not
well
super
blended.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I think this is very well done. I am like this is not because of the tequila stuff, this is just not something I would order in general. But I have no qualms about recommending it to somebody who wants a decent drinker that also has a little bit of a tequila vibe to it. I think this might be a good introduction for people who, you know drinks, but.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of along the lines of you'd think like a tequila sunrise cocktail or something like that, you know, like one of those canned cocktails that has, you know, the spirits and other things. I mean, there is still barley malt in this. I mean, you can actually, we haven't talked about it, but there is a barley malt flavor. So it's not like it's a clear, neutral base on this thing, but the flavors that it does bring makes me think like, you know, put an umbrella in this glass and, you know, drink it on a hot day.
Well, since we're having a cocktail here, let's go to the next cocktail.
Ooh.
And I'm going to also...
I still have to finish this one.
That's cool. No, by all means, this is going to take me a little time to prepare.
And we are back and rolling.
All right. What we have in front of us is a version of Champ's Elysis. This is normally a cocktail made with green chartreuse. I have yellow chartreuse.
Shame.
I could only afford I could afford the green chartreuse, but I couldn't find it. I could find the yellow chartreuse, which was $70. So
it's crazy that like you make the only thing. There's no substitutes.
Yeah.
I guess you can command whatever price you want. It's crazy people make cocktails with that crap.
We have in our little bottle here shed chartreuse, and if you just wow. Like
it smells like gin. There's a juniper floral definitely. Thing going, but
there's so much.
There's a little bit of anise or something in there too. I was surprised how gin like it was when I first smelled it, tasted it.
The in particular, the Castle and Key.
It is sweeter. There's a lot more leftover sweetness. Castle and Key gin burns. Like, I don't know if that's like barrel proof or what, but that was, it was way hotter than I expected it to be.
So when you have a taste of this, you see why, oh, wow, this is amazing on its own. Like this is, I don't know. It's got a million ingredients into it. It's got got like a root beer thing going on. It's got like
definitely root beer.
Yeah. It's got so much going on and it's balanced. So apparently the yellow version is sweeter than the green version.
Okay.
So also, now I'm picking up a black licorice, which I don't like black licorice, but
in here
it blends really well with everything else. So it's not making me go, oh, I can't drink this. But
yeah, these are all monks that make this crap. And that's why it's so expensive, because they only make a certain amount. And but yeah, it's special. Apparently, the other thing about this is that this ages extraordinarily well. Like if you found old,
like a bottle from the 50s.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So,
and it has 200 ingredients in, so it's surely gonna cure whatever ailment you have.
Oh my god, so good.
Isn't that great? And that's like, yeah, it's a wow ingredient. So I was glad to have gotten that bottle. Champsolasis. So this has the base is brand. I'm using Hennessy for this. It's 1/4 ounce brandy, 1/2 ounce of green chartreuse. I'm using yellow for this. 3/4 ounce lemon juice. This is straight lemon juice that I just squeezed out. Simple syrup, 1/2 ounce. Because it's the yellow, I dropped it down to about an eighth or so of an ounce, and Angostura bitters. Shaken, strained. Champs.
All right, so this one's looks like from the lemon juice there's like particular, like he double strained it, but there's still like citrus bits, like tiny little stuff in there.
That's definitely,
I wouldn't quite call it pulp, but and then it's kind of an amber color. The aroma's interesting. It's tart and kind of sweet on the aroma. Must be the Hennessy coming through, I would think.
The way to make your chartreuse last longer is some of the way I would describe it, this cocktail. Because it kind of brings out some of those. But like, you would almost say, chill my chartreuse, give me this much, and it's going to be a better drink. But you can't do that. You can't have this much chartreuse all the time. So give it a shot. See what you think.
Greg really likes the lemon juice based, because
I do
paper planes.
Yeah,
you based do. On that, right? I mean, you come up with really good ones.
I mean, I don't come up with any of these.
I know, but you find them and bring them to us, where I don't go down that lemon juice as the key ingredient when I pick out cocktails. I'm going to have to start doing it, I guess, but just not
lemons and limes. I have always have lemons and limes now. They're just you can't. I've tried the store-bought stuff. It doesn't compare. Lemons and limes are easy to get, relatively easy to get in bulk, and all you need is like a couple things to like that little citrus squeezer cost me, $4 on Amazon. And
it's always good. I have a juicer like that, and it's a glass one that I forget. I don't know if I got it from my mom.
You probably got it at the church sale.
Or I got it at the church sale. One or the other. I don't have a memory of getting a church sale though, so.
So yeah, Hennessy, not a particularly wonderful brandy, but it's fine. The chartreuse is the major player here. The lemon is kind of tamping down the brandy's attempt to overwhelm the chartreuse, I think, and then some of the chartreuse flavors are coming through. That's my pick on it.
Yeah. No, it seems I would have said that the lemon seems to kind of boost the chartreuse, but probably by tamping down the sweetness from the brandy. That's not a bad cocktail. What's this called again?
Champs
Elises. Elises.
This was the first cocktail I tried when I got the chartreuse. And I was like, whoa. And I hadn't tried the chartreuse alone. I was like, whoa. Whoa, that is different and cool.
One of the ones that are on my list to try, I would require champagne, is the French 75. I'm going to give that a try.
French 75, let's see. Yes, the French 75 is gin, simple syrup, lemon juice, and champagne. Yeah. That reminds me a lot. It's not quite the same, but it reminds me a lot of the Bee's Knees.
Oh, he made that for us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
I thought you did.
Yeah, I didn't.
No? Yeah. Oh, you talked about it when you were making us cocktails. Then.
Maybe I did. which is just gin and honey and lemon juice.
Well, we could do that tonight. Sure. Yeah, no. Oh, how to drink. He's talked about the French 75 a couple times since I've wanted to try that out. But I don't usually have champagne on hand, so.
Although we did have some a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. A couple of weeks ago, our friend Craig there's this photographer that does a bunch of different things. But he comes to that maker camp that we went to last fall, and he shoots headshots in black and white for everyone. And there's a line, like a big, long line. Well, he was actually like in Pittsburgh last week or 2 weeks ago in Canonsburg. And then in the evening, he came up to the forge, and we all went, like his friends all went and had headshots, and we paid a portion of, you know, the fee. And oh my goodness, his name is Mark Adams, and
he's phenomenal.
Takes some, like he captures your soul. So we got some really great photos. We took like three pairs of clothing changes, you know, to get different photos. And then Craig said to bring champagne for sobriety. You're sabering the top of the bottle off, and trying to get pictures of that. Craig went first, and he'd done it 1,000 times, so it went fine. And then when I went, either my bottle wasn't cold enough, or I was a little too exuberant, but the whole thing went, ksh, I'll show you the video, but the whole thing, ksh, ksh. And then a little bit later, Shannon went, and she like, did it like a boss, and she surprised herself. So.
We'll have to post that video on Discord and let everybody see it. That was fun. Some of the pictures too. We should put those on Discord too.
Or you could just go on the Gnarly Burl Instagram and
they see could them. Do that. They could do that. This is good. I like this. I think I like this one more than the first cocktail that you made.
I mean, it's more there's more dynamicism to it, right? It's there's more flavor to it because of the chartreuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Court Survivor is more of a, all right, wake up. And this is like, all right, sit down and enjoy yourself.
Yep.
They're both very good cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both lemon forward. I think that next cocktail, we probably will have this in post show. Diamondback. Which is rye, yellow chartreuse, and apple brandy.
Mm.
That might be amazing.
All right. So this next beer, I'm looking forward to this. We haven't had an Oxbow in a while. If you remember, Oxbow is the best brewery we found in New England last year. Amazing sours. It's the one that we almost didn't go to. And then one of our listeners was like,
must go.
Gotta go to Oxbow. Mm-hmm. So we made one more stop on the night.
Should we rinse our glasses?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do a quick rinse.
Doing a quick rinse. Boom,
boom. Yeah, Oxbow had, they have this amazing sour program. This is a sour that we're going to be tasting here in a moment. But like the wall for sale was just like overwhelming. Like, probably 60 different bottles of kinds of beer you can get, like of different sour treatments and things like that. Don't take his chartreuse.
There's more in there.
Jeez.
That's like $4 worth of chartreuse.
Yeah, Oxbow was amazing, and so glad we went. And then the beers we've had since haven't disappointed. So hopefully this one's another one that's on par. This is Amorous, A-M-O-R-U-S, Amorous. Mixed fermentation farmhouse ale with rhubarb.
Rhubarb, huh?
Yep, all of these bottles that are, wild, I pour...
What was it called again? Amorous?
Amorous, yeah. I pour very gently, trying not to rouse the yeasty critters at the bottom of the bottle.
So they call it a grisette.
Ooh. Grisettes are a Belgian after-work kind of beer. It actually stands for, the gray girl. And what it comes from is when the miners would come out of the mine, there would be a bunch of grisettes, young women in their gray outfits with pails of beer to sell to the miners as they come out of the mine. So that's where grisette comes from.
Did not know that.
So this is fermented with Brett and blended with rhubarb juice. So expect it to be sour. 5.5% aged in stainless.
All right. Beer pours fairly clear. I bet you the top of the bottle was super clear, but we poured 3 samples without rousing too much sediment. The aroma is kind of closed off. For me, it is a little wheat-like. What did you say the ABV is on this?
5.5.
Definitely wheat.
Yeah.
Five. So,
grisettes are normally low alcohol beers. 5 is probably on the high side for many grisettes.
Not really getting a lot on the nose.
No. I mean, it is a little it's a refresher kind of beer. It's not gonna, so hopefully it gives us maybe a little bit of tang or lemon on the nose.
Mm. Yeah, that's a grisette. Like it's kind of table beer-ish in terms of its body.
It has a good body. But full body.
You're right. You're right. I should. Yeah, it's table beer in terms of its flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but its body is more substantial.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to say, yes, it reminds me of grisette. Beer de Mars or Beer de Garde, mm-hmm. Table beer kind of thing. But this one specifically has a much fuller malty body. But it's still dry and it's attenuated. It doesn't come across as too sweet.
Yeah, it really ends dry.
Has a little bit of a tang to it. There, that kind of lemon vibe of the beer, the last cocktail kind of pulls through on this, right? Because the way the tartness comes out.
This is an everyday beer.
This is an everyday beer, but sort of an exceptional version.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed by how well made this is.
Yeah. Inspective of a 5% farmhouse beer
that has very little in the way of overt flavors. It's just kind of very subtle. And if there was a mistake made at any point, mm-hmm. it would be extraordinarily obvious here, more obvious than the taste here is as well machined as a Budweiser, in terms of they have really worked the screws to nail it. So it's perfected in what they're trying to do here.
Yeah. It definitely punches above its weight.
Yeah. And I'm very impressed by this beer.
It delivers way more than you could ask for a 5% grisette.
Now, that said, like, if you just had this, open this up, and were like, I'm going to have a beer, and this would almost be like water. Because if you're not inspecting this for how beautifully made it is, a lot of this would be lost on you.
If you had this at Oxbow in the middle of a flight of other beers, if you had this at a bottle share, the competition that it's in.
Yeah.
And the competition had tonight is stiff too for a couple of the beers. It is.
But I mean, we're really rating a lot of different things here.
Very different things. But I do want to just point out the only reason why I think this beer is very high up on my list of stuff we drank tonight is because we're a show that really investigates deeply into these things. And if we were a show that were just like, taste it or not, blah, 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 then a lot of this would be lost. So
I've had a bunch of beers called grisette. This one is the cleanest, most attenuated.
Drinkable.
A lot of them leave more sweetness on the table.
Yeah.
And that messes with the whole vibe of the beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either that or more yeastiness or something. But like this to me is kind of, if I wanted to give you a mile marker that everyone listening would know, I would say like start at Orval.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then walk away from there towards malt, you know, like that thing. So it's like, it's in the vicinity of Orval and so good.
And so dry too, which is.
It is.
Like a really dry champagne. Like it's.
Yeah, you're right. It has a champagne finish, but with a different twist to that flavor. Instead of it going sweet grape, it goes kind of dry malt, you know, I don't have tons of champagne, but when we were sabraging champagne bottles, we are having, you know, the $20 champagnes that are at the state store. And that stuff was way sweeter and grapier at the end. And like, this is kind of the same vibe, but.
Man, the gumption you have to have just to make this and sell it. Right. Because like, this is not going to be, you know, your double imperial stout chocolate bomb thing. This is
it's on the spectrum of things Oxbow does, right? And I don't know if this is part of their main lineup or if this was like a one-time thing. I could totally see this as a one-time thing and people buying the hell out of it. Now, if it's always there compared to everything else they do, maybe it can survive. I'm not saying it can't, but it's a different story completely. And that's where you're kind of thinking like, oh, this takes some nuts to make. If they keep it around, yeah. If they're doing it as a one-time thing, I think their clientele would buy it up and just drink it, and it'd be worth it.
Sure. This is not. And no one's going to have this and hate it. I think that's kind of impossible. Yeah. But at the same time, there are people going to have this and be like, I want my hops or something like that, right?
Yeah. Or a bigger sour.
Or I want a beer flavored beer.
Right, yeah. Well,
I mean, it would be a bigger... I mean, if you're at Oxbow, you're going to probably want... Oh, I want more funk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or this is tarred, but not funky. And it's so dry.
Or it's clean. Like, no, this is perfect. This is, like, perfectly done.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I love that. That's so good.
We got to go back there.
Let's go. My name?
July.
Let's go. In July, we're going back to Portland. Okay.
Portland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's all the beers we have for this evening. I think it's time to get...
I think we have enough. That's seven things I have on my list, and I can't even look at all of them.
Okay. So let's see, we got They don't have all the bottles out here. A couple were in the fridge.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to show all the cocktails, of course. But
would you like me to get the bottles out of the fridge?
Perhaps.
Okay.
All right. So let's recap. We had...
We started with Corpse Reviver number 2.
She's handing you. And she's spilling the Oreo beer all over the fridge.
That's a kiss. That's a little bueno.
Is that all that's in the fridge? Yeah, I guess we had 5 beers and two cocktails.
Okay. Started with Corpse Reviver number 2.
Right. All right, so...
Which was a cocktail with Cocky Americano and a little bit of absinthe and lemon juice and gin.
And we had the Hill Farmstead.
Yes, then Hill Farmstead, then the Hot Farm.
And then we had the Angry Chair. And then we had the Dancing Gnome.
Yep.
And then we had the next cocktail.
Then we had the champs, right? And then we had...
Waxbow.
Yeah.
All right. So from the bottom for me, I'm just going to work through this. I think the Hop Farm this time is in last place. I did enjoy the grapefruit that it brought, but it didn't bring the other like 3 things that it promised it would bring. Mm-hmm. So that kind of falls at the bottom. And then... and putting the cocktails in is going to be weird.
That's why I asked if we had to rate the cocktails too, because that makes it tough.
I am going to put the Dancing Gnome Aragosa in second to last place. The had some neat things going on to it, but overall, I thought the goes part was well executed, but overall, compared to the other things we drank tonight, it didn't really hit me as something that I favored. And then I'll put the Hill Farm Sankt in third from last place. And then I'm going to put the Corpse Reviver number 2. And then I'm going to put the Champs. And then it gets hard. Do I want world-class grisette or do I want in-your-face Oreo Imperial Stout? I mean, they're kind of equally good. Damn. I don't know.
All right, this will be the Corpse Reviver.
I'm going to put into my hedonistic side, and I'm going to put the Amorous in second place and the whatever the hell this Oreo beer is called, the Everywhere Nowhere in first place.
So take a picture and...
Well, let me put it in the right order and I'll take a picture.
Oh. Okay, sorry. So what we have here is my glass is going to be the Champs. And the glass with the lemon peel is going to be the Corpse Reviver.
All right. Who's ready to go? You ready to go, Greg?
Yeah. Okay. So I do think in last place for me, it is the Hop Farm. I just didn't really get anything from it. I got that grapefruit kind of, but also at 8%, it didn't satisfy kind of anything that I was looking for. And I guess that the Sankt would come in next because I also didn't get much from that at all. I was expecting a lot more. The Aragosa I did kind of like in the sense that I did not expect, especially something with tequila in it, to have so much... To still be like drinkable enough to me, but I'm still going to put it here in place. Then I also think I'll agree and I'll put the Corpse Reviver. I guess this is really tough. I think I'll also say the Champs. And yeah, I think the Amrys is an exceptional thing, but that Oreo thing was also just blew my mind.
Well, it's like, which one do you put first? If I'm going to pretend to be snobby about the thing, you put the Grisette in first place. But if you're going to be hedonistic about the whole thing, you're going to put the fucking Oreo Imperial Stout in first place.
Well, I just think that, like, the Grisette thing is so awesome, and I'm really, really, I think, really exceptional and really well done, and I think that's fantastic. And the Oreo thing, though, was like, holy shit. And kind of the holy shit's got to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what Greg McGill's saying right now.
All right. I've got to reach over here. That goes there. There's the...
You going to tell the listeners what's what? All right, after you get them sorted, you're
going to... I was going to get them sorted. Gotcha. First.
This one?
Just that.
Shannon's rankings are tabulated by the accounting firm of Ernst & Young.
It costs a lot of extra money for Shaw. I really think that we should not do that, but hey...
What is this one?
This is the tequila one.
This is the...
Ergoza.
Oh, okay. Where's the hop bar?
Hop farm is
in last place.
Oh, right? That was in last... No, yeah. Last place. And then Hill Farms. Okay, so last place is the...
Hop farm.
And next we've got Sankt from Hill Farmstead. And then we have, oh my goodness, I rate these. And then I have to find,
yeah, figure it should be more organized with
Dancing Note. The Dancing, where's Dancing Note?
There it goes.
Yep. Then
it's going to be the same, isn't it? It's going to be exactly the same.
The Cocktail Corp Survivor.
Yeah.
All right. Am I the same as what you got so far?
Yeah, it's going to be the same.
All right. And then I've got the Champs.
Yep.
And then...
Hold on. The Johnny Carson envelope thing.
And then we have the Oxbow, and then we have the Angry Chair.
Yeah, I'm glad you took all that time to rearrange it, because
I didn't realize that because I can't see my list because I'm on my tablet and it doesn't all fit.
Right, smaller. That's why we need the accounting firm of Ernst & Young to tabulate her results.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, it feels like a waste of money, especially this time.
She usually matches. See, I'm pretty sure she...
Usually you and I are on the same...
I thought you match with Greg more than me.
Do I?
I think so.
Do I match with you?
Okay, we have to do some stats on that to figure out.
Or maybe you just match with one of us. You prove which one of us is right either time.
Well, and the funny thing is, I don't pay any attention. Obviously, I wasn't paying any attention to what you were ranking. My rankings are on a tablet.
We're not saying you're copying. We're saying it's funny. You usually duplicate one of our rankings. And it just proves which one's right that show, I guess. So
really?
That's one way to look at it.
are we gonna do the Mary Fuck Kill?
Of course we are.
We have to do the Mary Fuck Kill.
Jeff, you started, you gotta go.
I'm gonna marry the Amrys. Gonna fuck that everywhere, nowhere. And I'm going to have to kill the hop farm, the grapefruit brulee.
What are you going to fuck?
Angry Chair, I said.
Well, I didn't hear that. Sorry. Miss it.
Yeah, I mean, same for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's any other way to put it.
No, same for me.
Yeah.
Same. Definitely.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes groove's in the heart, and sometimes the show's got to end.
Yeah, well, you know.
How old is this song now? Probably 35 years.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to know.
1990.
I was going to say don't.
Oh, too late.
Don't tell me the year.
It's like the other day I realized Seven Nations Army is 23 years old.
Well, this is only 34 years old. So.
But Seven Nations Army, like, seems like new rock to me.
It's That's only because you haven't been paying attention to music.
No,
like
I do. I make an effort to incorporate new music into my...
Every day.
I make it an effort to not be stuck in my high school years. But yeah, it's just the time's weird. And yeah, when I saw Seven Nations Army, it was 23 years old. Freaking classic rock. Like, that's weird, man.
That's weird, man.
It's no bueno.